is news with Nick. Wait, didn't start the recording. Sorry, I didn't start the video version of the recording. This happens like every week. News with Nick. Started for real. June 7th, 2019. Some days you gotta just get up here and you gotta just turn on the mic. Even though you're not ready, you don't have all the prep done, sometimes you just have to be like, it's been 7.2 weeks. We're gonna just do the show. We're gonna turn on the mics. We're going to talk to the five listeners and update them on what's been going on, right? So this is more going to be a Nick update, News About Nick show. Remember when we did that one and I named it News About Nick and that messed up my entire naming convention of all the shows? I should not be naming things stuff that isn't news with Nick, like News About Nick. That's funny. Or New Year Nick when I do something on December 31st and it rolls over. I always think that's cute. Like, New Year, Nick, that's great. And then it messes up my file names, because, like, what is NYN? And mathematically, I almost said. Alphabetically, it goes through the it goes in the file server differently. Whatever, you know. The file server that I run at the News with Nick data center, where we have 8 technicians working around the clock to make sure all the files are up and available for you 24/7. Anything you want to watch. The YouTube, the audio file, if you want to watch that, that'll work well. All right, so let's see. I've been working at a new job. It's going great. Way less work than before. Way more money. So that's cool. Basically go in, solve a couple PC issues. One guy came in the other day. He said, I just got a question. I've been clicking on Outlook on my taskbar, and it's just not opening. I said, let me see your screen. And he shows me a screen and it's Outlook. Like, it's running. And I'm like, but it's, there it is. He's like, what do you mean? Where is it? I was like, it's running. He said, oh, this is Outlook? I go, yeah. And he said, oh, that was silly. I'm like, no problem. Let me know if I can help you anything further. Okay, let's see. What else is going on? You guys realize we have not done a show since pretty much, I'm not even sure when, James Holdsauer started his Jeopardy run. It might have been like soon near the last show start. Anyway, this guy went on Jeopardy. He was like, I'm pretty smart. I think I'll go on Jeopardy. Then he answered every single question he's ever asked correctly. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But his correct answer percentage was very high. And his wagering was very high. And he always won so much money. He won 32 consecutive games of Jeopardy. And everyone basically was thinking, James is unstoppable. Now, anyone who doesn't watch Jeopardy doesn't realize, maybe doesn't know, that when you win Jeopardy, you just play the next day. And you can just keep playing as long as you keep winning. Which, to me, it seems like, yeah, eventually they would find someone who's super good and that no one else can beat. Why wouldn't that occur? Why would, on average, all three people be like about the same skill level? I don't know. I guess the audition process and everything else that goes along with that maybe is the reason that would occur. Right. Anyway, so he goes on. He wins so many times in a row, and people are thinking he's unstoppable. Nobody's even coming near him 90% of the time. And when they do come near him, he's still in the lead, and he still wins Final Jeopardy. He only answered one Final Jeopardy question wrong the entire time. And then all of a sudden, one day, this girl named Emma comes on, doesn't necessarily outplay him, but the way it works is that you get these daily doubles throughout the game where you can bet money and win a super larger amount of money than the normal amount that a clue is worth. And it just happened to be that she got more of those than he did and was able to win, even though she answered fewer questions correctly. So that was the end of James on Jeopardy, and now if you head on over to his Twitter, all he does is just post memes about Jeopardy. It's really funny. Like this one I have on the screen right now, he retweeted Emma is with the, I think it's the Bane mask. Was that from Batman? I want to say Batman, but if it's not Batman, it's going to be, maybe I'm just thinking of Christian Bale. It's Batman. It's got to be, right? James Holdsauer posts to Twitter. It's 15 minutes ago, so this is breaking. I respect how great the Warriors are, but it's boring seeing the same team win every time. Oh, I get it now. Like people who are saying Jeopardy's boring because all it is just the James show.
Hmm?
He's so funny. So if you want to get more of him, you can actually head on over to the Pat McAfee podcast. Pat McAfee show. Don't know who that is, if he's related to the regular McAfee. Yeah, so he retweets a lot of articles about himself. It's pretty funny. So he's following the news, and he loves it. All right, it is... Oh, wait, let's check the notes. Let's talk to the new job. Yep. All right, it is Gay Pride Month. June is Gay Pride Month. So here we go with a news story. This actually is directly from a English person's Facebook page. Last Wednesday, I had a date with Chris. We got on the night bus. Oh, so far you might think that it's a male. It is a female that is posting this. And I think Chris is also a female. Last night, I had a date with Chris. We got on the night bus, heading for her place in Camden Town, climbed upstairs, and took the front seats. We must have kissed or something because these guys came after us. I don't remember if they were already there or if they got on after us. They said, "Do you bang?" What? No. What if they said that? Oh my God, that would actually be a legit question in that instance. Like, do you bang? Like, when you ask me that, I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you bang? Don't know what I'm talking about? Listen to the news. Listen to the Puke in the Gang episode at patgpodcast.com where I was last on a couple weeks ago. There were at least four of them. They started behaving like hooligans, demanding that we kissed so they could enjoy watching, calling us lesbians and describing sexual positions. I don't remember the whole episode, but the word scissors stuck in my mind. It was only them and us there. In an attempt to calm things down, I started making jokes. I thought this might make them go away. Chris even pretended she was sick, and they kept on harassing us, throwing us coins and becoming more enthusiastic about it. What? So what are they doing? I mean, I guess we don't know, but it's like they're throwing coins at the lesbians and going, "Do you guys scissor? Do you scissor?" I don't think any lesbians scissor. The next thing I know is that Chris is in the middle of the bus fighting with them. On an impulse, I went over there only to find her face bleeding and three of them beating her up. The next thing I know is I'm being punched. I got dizzy at the sight of blood and fell back. I don't remember whether or not I lost consciousness. Suddenly, the bus had stopped. The police were there, and I was bleeding all over. Our stuff was stolen as well. What? Rude. I mean, if you're going to punch a lesbian in the face, that's one thing. But if you're like, oh, ooh, she's bleeding, better steal her stuff. Our stuff was stolen as well. I don't know yet if my nose is broken, and I haven't been able to go back to work. But what upsets me the most is that violence has become a common thing. That sometimes it's necessary to see a woman bleeding after having been punched to feel some kind of impact. I'm tired of being taken as a sexual object of finding out. That because these situations are usual of gay friends who are beaten up just because we have to endure verbal harassment and chauvinist, misogynistic, and homophobic violence. Because when you stand up for yourself, shit like this happens. By the way, I'm thankful to all the women and men in my life that that understand that having balls means something completely different. What? I just hope that in June, Pride Month, stuff like this can be spoken out loudly so they stop happening. So every news article picked this up of the two females on the London bus who were beaten up. Here's a photo of them. I don't know how they got this photo. Like, someone else took it. Maybe it was the police or someone nearby. Like, take this photo so we can post it on Facebook. But yeah, they were beaten up. Anyway, it doesn't say who started it. It does say that next thing I know, Chris was in the aisle getting beaten up. So maybe Chris jumped up and said, "Go away," right? Maybe she punched first. I don't know. So the teens got away, and then the update is that four arrests made following homophobic attack. Homophobic? No. It was homo. They wanted to see him kiss. They liked him. Extra. So it's homo loving attack, level one. Four males aged 15 to 18 have been arrested on Friday on suspicion of robbery and aggravated GBH, which is must be a British thing. Great Britain hate? GBH? Level one would be like G bashing. Can I say the G word? They have been taken to separate London police stations for questioning. Police continue to appeal for witnesses and information after the women were assaulted and robbed on a Route 31 bus in Camden. These didn't happen, blah, blah, blah. After the two women, aged in their 20s, boarded the bus, they sat at the top deck, were approached by a group of males who began to make lewd and homophobic comments to them. The women were then attacked and punched several times before the males ran off the bus. The superintendent says, the detective says, this was a disgusting attack on two women who appear to have been picked out and targeted by a group of youths. The suspects have made a number of homophobic comments toward the couple before throwing coins at them. When the women tried to reason with the group, the attack escalated to an assault. CCTV footage from the attack is being reviewed by detectives. Oh, there's footage! There's footage. We continue to appeal for information from the public, particularly those who were present on the bus before or after the attack, to come forward and tell police what they saw. A number of active inquiries are in hand to trace other individuals suspected to have been involved in the incident. Lots of people will understandably be outraged by this attack. Our efforts to trace all of the suspects involved and bring them in for questioning will be relentless. Blah, blah, blah. Ring 999 if you see a hate crime. Ring 999. I've done it. Sorry, that's a reference. That's a quote that no one will get. All right, it is still Gay Pride Month. Ex-Goldman Sachs VP told he sounded too gay by coworkers, and he sues the firm. A gay vice president at Goldman Sachs claimed his sexual orientation was the subject of office fodder and that he was once excluded from a conference call because he sounds too gay, according to a lawsuit filed on Wednesday. If anyone has the link to the lawsuit, let me know. I could not find it in 5 minutes of searching, and I had 20 minutes to get ready for the show. William Littleton says he was abruptly fired from the financial giant after complaining to human resources about being mistreated for 2 years. Littleton worked at Goldman Sachs for 8 years, most recently as a vice president within the product strategy group. Vice president seems pretty high up, and if I were, like, talking to the vice president, I would never be like, wow, you sound pretty gay. He also served as one of the company's highest-ranking LGBTQ advocates. Now, vice president, I don't think he's vice president of Goldman Sachs. He's like a vice president of some group. Right, vice president within the product strategy group. So how many vice presidents are there at Goldman Sachs? Right? And how many men work at a company named Sachs that aren't gay? Like, your company is named Sachs. Oh, boy. In March 2014, he said he was about to hop on a scheduled conference call with a client, but was booted at the last minute by the call's moderator. Okay, so not within the company. He was going to make a call with a client. A colleague later explained the moderator, Walden Littleton, to drop from the call because he sounds too gay. First of all, we have to look this guy up. Hang on. Can I find a YouTube video of him? Maybe he does sound too gay to be on a call with a client. Like, imagine if you had to talk to a client. They were going to give you millions and millions of dollars. And they're like, can we have Nick on? Right? They go, no. Or they go, no, he sounds too much like a clown or like a fish. Like, what if my voice was just bubbly? Hello, I'm here to talk to you about all of the money you want to give me. Let's see. Is there any video of him? I don't see any video. Maybe this man has never been. When he flagged... Codley later explained to the moderator that the moderator wanted Littleton dropped from the call because he sounds too gay, the complaint says. When he flagged the comment to his supervisor, she brushed it off. This sucks, said the supervisor, before ultimately deciding to notify employee relations about the incident because it would look bad if she did not do something. So the court papers say she did eventually notify employee relations. Littleton said he decided not to take further action out of fear of retaliation due to ER's reputation for taking little action to support relations. Sorry. So Littleton is the guy who was fired. The offensive comments allegedly continued a year later. On the Monday after the LGBT Pride Parade in Manhattan, the day Littleton was scheduled to have off, during a team meeting, one of his other bosses, Rachel Schnall, allegedly wondered out loud, "Oh, Will's not in? He must be hungover from Pride festivities." How's that homophobic? Just to bring it up is homophobic? Will's not in, he must be hungover from Pride festivities? That's like saying, you know, Jay isn't in because he wanted to go camping last week and he must have drank too much. LOL, so funny, Jay. You went camping and you drank too much. In 2016, Littleton's sexual orientation was dredged up again in a workplace quarrel with Sculpone. Sculpone, the suit says, "What's wrong with you? Do you act this way because you're gay?" she allegedly asked him. Okay, that's not very nice to say. After filing a discrimination complaint with employee relations last year, he claims he was retaliated against with a negative annual review who said his performance has been inconsistent. And then he was fired altogether due to what they claimed were performance issues that manifested this year. In short, Mr. Littleton was retaliated against for having the courage to pursue his complaints of discriminations internally with Goldman's ER. The attorney representing Littleton says Wall Street continues to struggle to create an environment that is inclusive and accepting of LGBTQIA employees. Mr. Littleton experiences demonstrate that Goldman Sachs in particular has failed to embrace this important responsibility. All right, so there's that. Let's see if he wins. Super quick, Elon Musk is headed back to court over statements he made on Twitter last year, weeks after dodging new penalties from the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission, so he doesn't go to court for this one thing. However, a defamation lawsuit filed by Vermin Unworth, a U.K. man who had assisted in the rescue of a youth soccer team trapped in the flooded cave in Thailand in 2018 against Musk can go forward. The U.S. District Judge ruled in Friday, and there's a trial set for October 22nd. Let's see, because in during this child rescue thing, in whatever country it was. My brain is going insane, and I'm so sorry I'm not on the top of it. Anyway, he tweeted out that one of the rescuers was a pedo guy. In new email, Elon Musk accuses a cave rescuer of being a child rapist and said he hopes there's a lawsuit. Hang on. "I suggest that you call people you know in Thailand, find out what's actually going on, and stop defending child rapists, you effing asshole," Musk wrote in an email. He's an old single white guy from England who's been traveling to or living in Thailand for 30 to 40 years, mostly Pattaya Beach, until moving to Chiang Rai for a child bride who was about 12 years old at the time. Wait, he seems to know what he's talking about. So the crux of this case is going to be a reverse child pornography case, basically. So normally in child porn or child rape cases, right, you're charging someone and the person is like, "No, no, no, I didn't do it," or something like that. Normally they're like, "I did it. Please give me the lowest thing possible." But this is like reverse. Elon Musk is being sued by the pedo. And then what's going to happen is it's going to go to court and Elon Musk is going to have to prove that the guy's a pedo, so that he's not charged with defamation. Because if it's true, it's not defamation. Right? So now we got to dig up this guy's past, prove he's a pedophile, and then does he get charged separately for being a pedophile after Elon Musk wins? So I don't know. A Japanese government minister has sparked controversy by saying that it is socially accepted that women should be forced to wear high heels in the workplace. For many years, it has been required in many Japanese offices for women to wear high heels, but a recent backlash has thrown the practice into question. 19,000 people in Japan have signed a petition to ban the requirement. Speaking about the petition at a lower house committee session on Wednesday, Health, Labor, and Welfare Minister Takumi Nomoto deferred on whether demanding women to wear high heels constituted an abuse of power. "It is socially accepted as something that falls within the realm of being occupationally necessary and appropriate." Wow. "Whether the employer's requirement to wear high heels is an abuse of power or not depends on whether the requirement goes beyond the social understanding of what is necessary and appropriate." How could it be required to wear high heels? I mean, it depends on your job, I guess. Like, if your job is literally Hooters and your legs have to look good, you got to wear high heels. Sorry, if that's discrimination, that's sort of the job, right? But if your job is like walking around and being a secretary, obviously, you should actually be wearing running shoes because you could get your job done so much quicker. Everyone is required to wear running shoes and run as false as possible from place to place. The chat says, I just loaded the show and I hear reverse child porn being yelled. Nice. Reverse child porn. What if you took child porn, but you took the face off the kid and put an adult woman's face on it? Huh? Is this still child porn? Checkmate, police. I love saying checkmate, police on this show. So something amazing happened a couple months ago in the gaming world. And I'm going to try to explain this in a non-gaming way. Long story short, there used to be a game called City of Heroes. It was a multiplayer, massively online role-playing game, whatever. You get on, you make a superhero, you fly around, you kill bad guys, blah, blah, blah. You team up, you make great friends, you look like a hot girl. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do, you do. Everyone loved it. A lot of people played it and stopped playing it because it shut down in like 2012. We're like, I've never found another game that was like this. It was always my greatest love, right? So imagine you had a club you loved going to, right? This club had great music, had great lights, had great art. Not only did this club have these things, maybe this club had arcade games. Maybe this club had outfits. Maybe this club had books and stories and movies and anything that you could partake, like almost infinite amounts of them. And all your friends came to this club all the time. It was perfect, right? And then all of a sudden, they're like, you know what? In a month, we're shutting the club down. And everyone goes, no, why? And they said, bit, shutting the club down. You can't come. You can't come anymore after a month from now. And they go, but all the stuff, we love it. It's the funnest place. Okay, how about will you sell us the arcade games? No. Will you sell us the books and the movies? No. Will you sell us the outfit? Will you sell us anything? Can we have anything? No, not really. So a month goes by. Everyone hangs out. They go as much as possible because they know it's shutting down. And then it shuts down. And the doors close. And it's locked. And it's over. And everyone stands outside and they go, what do we do? That was the funnest thing I've ever seen. I will never see anything that fun again. How do I go on? And so people hang out. They go, well, why can't we just make our own club? And the smart people say, because they didn't sell us the games. They didn't sell us the movies or the stories. We don't have any of it. We couldn't rebuild that. And someone else says, we could try a little bit, right? So they prop up a tent. Let's say they prop up a building. They paint it. It looks like the old club. You can go in. You can see it. You can see what it used to look like. But none of the games are there. None of them work. They might be broken. You could see them, but you can't play them. You can't participate with your friends. All you can really do is sit in the club at the table and talk about how great it used to be. You go, cool. Remember how fun this was? Too bad we'll never see it again. And from time to time, a man named, let's call him Philip. I don't know. Philip comes in and he like props up a new decoration. And he goes, hey guys, I've been working on this for quite a while. And so I made the fake club a little bit better. Thanks, Philip. Maybe Philip hangs out a bit. Actually, everyone knows who Philip is because Philip's been a great organizer of the fake club. Like, he's been part of the community for a long time. And he seems to be putting a lot of work into the fake club, right? But everyone hangs out and they keep going, can we ever get this thing back? No, we will never have it again. We'll never have it again. Give it up. So for 6 straight years, we go, it's gone. Is it really gone? I can't believe it. Are you guys bored yet? 6 years later, we're all sitting in the club. The door bursts open. It's a fat guy. It's a fat guy with a beard. And he goes, guys, I'm out of breath because I'm fat. The club. It exists, and it's real, and it's existed for the past 6 years, and it's illegal, and it's underground, and only a couple people are allowed in, and I'm not supposed to be even telling you because it's a secret, and Philip runs it. And he's been running it this whole time and kept it from you. And the entire internet explodes. And they go, there's been a secret City of Heroes server running for 6 years, and nobody knew about it. Someone snuck the code out before the studio shut down, handed it off to Philip, and Philip spun up a server and only invited his best friends and their friends or whatever. And nobody in the whole world knew. Well, Philip's under a lot of pressure now. He's about to be strung up from trees. His family is threatened. He's threatened. The trolls are after him. And he goes, fine! Here's the code. Here's the server. And you know what? I'll even help you set it up. So City of Heroes, the MMO from years ago, is back online, and it's amazing, and you can play it. And it's great. And I can't believe it. And that happened, too. That was so exciting. I spent almost my entire time in San Diego just refreshing the City of Heroes Reddit and chat to see if there were any updates on what had happened. Was that exciting for you guys? And then I logged in, and I made a character, and I played for a bit, and now I'm bored again. But it doesn't matter, because the saddest part was that it didn't exist, and that if you wanted it, it wasn't there. Now that it's there, whatever. Boring. Just kidding. It's still kind of fun. Ah, the Phoenix has obtained unsolicited Phi-Psi internal files from an anonymous source that reveal details of the Phi-Psi pledging process. There is almost no news story I love more than fraternity and, fraternity drama. I was going to say and sorority, but this almost never happens to the femmes. The females. It's only the men being dumb most of the time. The files include folders with documents, photos, and videos detailing aspects of the pledging process, among other information, as far back as 2010 and as recently as 2016. The leaked files contain photos and videos of fall break pledge tasks. These images and videos depict inductees performing embarrassing tasks to be completed as part of the pledging process. A smiling pledge dressed in a hat and gold, holding a guitar with two girls who held separate signs was read, "Help me go to clown school." And it was this or butt chug. Please donate. Is that bad now? One pledge had his ears pierced in a mall. Another pledge is shown dressed in a gorilla costume, beating his chest at the top of a sightseeing location. Another appeared in a video standing on furniture and dancing to the song, "I Will Survive," in the library of an Ohio college. One pledge was filmed falling in multiple crowded restaurants. Falling? All right, let's see. For example, many of the scavenger tasks, and there was a scavenger hunt, apparently. Scavenger hunt required pledges to take an early morning train and perform one individual task along with several group tasks in the city. Each pledge was assigned to one of the individual tasks. Many of the scavenger hunt tasks were sexual in their nature. Ooh, we're getting to the good things. And some used women and homosexuality as a means for emasculation or embarrassment. For example, one individual task was for two pledges to go on an establishment named Doggy Style. Go to an establishment named Doggy Style. Wait, they named that. How is that a pledge? You have to go into it? One pledge was to get into a Doggy Style position, hump the other for a full minute outside the establishment, and then they were to switch. The instruction noted that the pledges should get into it. Whoa. Another task was to go into a women's clothing store, try on clothing, and ensure that an employee was filmed helping the pledge try on clothes. I assume women's clothes. Wait, I do that all the time. I can get into a fraternity by doing that? JK, Dad. A pledge was done. One pledge was told to purchase a dildo at a sex shop and take a photo with hot girls holding the dildo. Another task was to play pornography on a phone in a Starbucks while wearing headphones that were not plugged into the phone. This is so level one. This is so dumb. You know what would be funny? If you were in public and you were watching porn, LOL, what would you do? The pledge was to pretend to be oblivious that the porn was available to others, and he had to sit there for at least a minute. All right. Is there anything about
Oh.
So what I was trying to get into was the two fraternities at a U.S. college have disbanded after leaked meeting minutes that referred to buying date rape drugs in a rape attic. Students had staged sit-ins at the Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania calling for Phi C, which that is the one we just talked about, and Delta Upsilon to be banned from campus. College President Valerie Smith said the frats had agreed to disband, but an investigation would continue. Last month, two publications, The Phoenix and The Voices, published what are alleged to be internal documents from the Phi C fraternity. Redacted 170-page document includes meeting minutes and details of the pledging rituals. They have bravado about buying date rape drugs. The minutes also allege that Delta Upsilon have both a rape tunnel and a rape attic. You got to choose one or the other. Allegations of sexual assault, violence, and harassment have also been shared by students to an anonymous Tumblr page. All right, so we should probably do some more research offline about what the rape tunnel and the rape attic are. Let me make a note of that. Oh, what if Google... I hope Google doesn't read my docs. This guy's logging stuff about rape tunnels and rape attics. What? And look at all these photos of his attic. Ooh, foreshadowing. All right, what else has gone on? Let's see. I used to have two cars. I only have one car now. I had my old one, the Impreza. I crashed it into a guardrail. So I went out, I got a quote to see, okay, how much to fix the car and get it inspectable for the guardrail? They're like $1,700. I'm like, oh, Jesus, that's a lot. And then I'm like, well, maybe I'll do that. If it's only $1,700 to $2,000 to keep a car for another year, that's not too bad. So then I take it in for an inspection. I say, would this pass inspection except for the crash in the bumper? And they go, whoa, not even close. You need about another $1,400 in all-around work to your springs and your sprockets and your sockets and your stings, right? Those are things on cars. And also, your windshield's cracked. I said, my windshield's cracked? And I got my car picked up, and yet, sure enough, my windshield was cracked, but I didn't think it was cracked when I brought it in, but then later, a few days later, I was driving it, and then I went, oh, right, that windshield crack. So I realized that at that moment that I had been driving it, and I hadn't remembered the crack in that moment. So I guess it's possible it was there this whole time, and I just had never noticed it. So anyway, that was going to be, I don't know how much it is to replace a windshield. It's probably $2 billion. Anyway, the car wasn't going to be worth it. I probably could have sold it for more parts, but I just ended up scrapping it for a few dollars, and it is gone. That's the story of my car. My dad was going to get some upgrades done to his car, and so we went to this shop in Michigan, and it was run by a guy, and on the desk it said, ooh, don't have enough money for your car upgrades? Sign up for Snap. No credit, no problem. It's just financing, and you get Snap financing immediately. So head on over to snapfinancial.com. What is about Snap? Our mission is to give our partners a competitive advantage through the innovative use of financing products and payment solutions. Snap Financial Group is focused on being a fast, fair, and friendly payment solutions partner. We support this statement by providing quick approvals, reasonable and responsible interest rates, and a supportive customer experience. Anytime you're in a place and there's an advertisement for financing and it says, don't have any credit, come on over. That is not going to be good. Head on over to Snap Financial's Better Business Bureau page. Search for the word scam. My husband asked for a loan to finance tires with Jiffy Lube. They processed his credit with his company, and the annual percentage rate that is stated on the agreement summary is really excessive. We're talking about 163%. That is extremely high, and it's basically theft. I don't know how many people they have scammed, but this is not cool. There should be some type of control as to how high the percentage can offer a customer. My husband does not have a bad credit, and he just doesn't have any credit. And like this, I said, this is excessive, even if a person has bad credit. But if you go to the Better Business Bureau page, there's a ton of people just saying, wow, You had to pay like $5,000 for something that should have been $500. It's just a payday loan company. Do not go to Snap Financial. Don't know why I'm telling you that. All right. So a couple weeks ago, I decided, hey, actually, I didn't decide. A company called me. They said, hey, we have your number from like a home show you went to. You want us to come out and take a measurement of your roof, and we'll see about getting a new roof on your house. And I go, okay. As you people know, labelroofs, .com or whatever, that I used to patch my roof with labels from work because it was leaking in a spot. So I went up there and I said, I'm just going to stick this label over this one spot and I'll get it patched later. So it'll just stop leaking for now. So I stuck it down and I go up there the next rainstorm and it's not leaking at all. And I go, whoa, it worked. That's pretty funny. I'll just wait and see how long it'll hold. It'll obviously blow off within a year. Less than a year, probably. Like, how could a label hold for, like, more than 2 months on my roof? 3 years later, every time I came home, I looked up and I went, that label, it's still there. And the roof is still fine. So, I didn't really do much with it. Then, I got drunk and I drove a car, right? And then I got arrested for that. That dramatically affects your car insurance rates several months later. So, my car insurance rates went up. I switched car insurance companies to save money. That worked. I tried to switch my house insurance to the new company. They said, your roof is garbage and we are not insuring you. And I said, uh-oh. Okay, I'll just not tell the old company and I'll just keep paying them. So I did that. So I floated on that for about a month and a half. Then this company calls me and they say, hey, we'll come out, measure your roof. We'll give you a quote. And I go, I'm not going to buy a new roof now. I don't want to. Besides, stuff could go wrong. Like, I don't want you guys ripping stuff off. What if you find, like, dead bodies under the roof? Not that I put there, but someone else put there. That's going to be a hole to do. But I say, hey, you're sending someone for free. I'll hang out with a free guy, quote my roof, measure it. We'll hang out, watch some Netflix, sleep together, things like that. Great. Come on out. They come out. They measure it. They say, have you done business with us before? I said, no, you gave me a quote last year, and it was pretty high, so I didn't do it. He requotes it. It's a lot lower. I go, well, I am going to have to pay for a roof soon. And they pitch this roof hard. They go, other companies use this. And they rip it apart. They rip the roofing material apart. We use this. Try to rip this. And I go, I'm not even going to try to rip that. I'll embarrass myself. Your roofing is so strong, sir. And he says, what do you want to do? Great. His price is high. His price is high compared to, like, if I drove down the street and talked to some local guy who's got a truck and two friends, my roof will be dirt cheap. This guy's quote is a little high, but he's like, we're from a big company. We do a lot of things, and we have a huge warranty and a big team, and we'll answer the phone. And all of the things that he said so far were true. They did have a nice team, and they do have good reviews, not like Snap Financial. So I say, great, fine. It's a little more than I could get, but let's do it. I signed up for the new roof. Boom. New roof. Great. What could go wrong? People sometimes go on vacation. They're like, oh, someone goes on vacation. We schedule their roof. They come back from vacation. They got a new roof. How hard could it be? We'll do it in like 1-2 days. Done. So I say, great. He says, we're going to be there June 5th. I say, okay, cool. They get here June 5th. I go outside and meet 2 to 3 men. I meet 3 men in a van. They jump out and they go, hello. And I go, hi. And it's very clear that they are only Spanish speakers. But at least one of them knows enough English for me to go, do you need anything else from me? Or can I go to work now? And you guys are good. He's like, no, I don't need anything. We're good. Cool. So they work, rip off the roof, stick on the ice and water shield on the lower part of the roof, to stick on whatever the underlayment is on the top part of the roof. And then they're like, oh, we ran out of time in the day. We're going to go home. There are like 4 fruit flies on this light. This is embarrassing. I'm infested! Again. So I get home. I go, oh, the shingles aren't done yet. That's pretty funny. Or that's not funny, but it's like, that's interesting. They thought they might get it done in a day, but it'll be 2 days. That's no problem. Obviously, they would have covered it fine, right? Go inside, not thinking much of it. Have dinner. You know, watched some videos on that old internet. Give way too many details about a story, like Andrew. And as it turns about 9:45, 9:50, starts raining outside. And I go, ha, it's raining. Oh, wait, I don't have a roof. That's bad. Like, you want a roof when it's raining. Now everyone listening is going, obviously the company would have covered it with something waterproof. They're not idiots. They're a real company, and it's a waterproof underlayment that they would have covered, or they would have tarped it. Because no one would leave it not like that, right? So I go, that's great. That's true. So it's probably fine. However, I'll just go up in the attic anyway, and I'm going to just check it out and see how it sounds, because I'll never hear it again. So I go up in the attic, and the first thing I think is, oh, cool. That sounds like rain on a tent. That's pretty fun. The second thing I think is, that feels like water on my head. That's not good. And I look up, and I'm like, oh, my God. There's like a drip in the roof. Haha, there must be like one spot that they missed. I'll just catch a little bit of water. This is going to suck for tonight, but and I'll be a little bit anxious, but I'm sure it's fine. They couldn't have messed up the entire roof. It is 1 a.m. on June 6th, I believe. My roof was done, or allegedly being redone, by Vista Home Improvement. The underlayment was down, and the shingles were not down, and it is raining out, and it is leaking in at least 15 to 20 locations. Under the roof, over there. Here.
So what the video is showing here for the video version viewers that you're just seeing
down there's getting a good amount
watermarks.
See if we can move this cup a little
on
bit
on the undersides of the boards of this attic, and there's just a lot of insulation you can see, I guess, and some Tupperwares I've put down.
I'm gonna keep walking to this side.
Here's a tour of my
lots
attic
of stains
everyone.
Over here, or wet spots rather. Not too full. I don't have enough containers, obviously, to catch everything. I may drag up another tarp and do this corner.
So as you look down the view from one end of the attic to the other, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. I counted 15. No, there's more than like 25 drips of water dripped in just that 7 seconds. So that lets you know that I was in my attic and the entire thing started leaking. This is like the thing of nightmares. Nick, why are you so anxious? What could possibly happen with the attic, with the roof? They're not going to mess up the roof. Oh, yeah?
It's now 1:45. It's only 45 minutes have passed since the last video. We just had a burst of rain, and then it stopped for a bit. Or slowed down, rather. So, not as much dripping in this particular moment as there was a moment ago, but more heavy rain may be coming. Put down another tarp here. It's not really gonna do much. It's definitely dripping here, here.
What if I hadn't been here?
Here still.
What if I had been on vacation? What if I was an old lady? What if I was a fat man and disabled and I couldn't get to my attic and I go, ooh, my entire ceiling is just turning brown from the water that's leaking down here. If I hadn't even been, what if I'd been on vacation and they hadn't even looked inside after they finished the roof? Like, these guys come back the next day, they shingle it up, and they leave, and they move on to the next job, and it's like 6 days later. I get back from San Diego. And I go, ah, right, nice new roof. Look at that. And I go inside, and every ceiling is water-stained. And moldy, by the way, because it's been 6 days. How many thousands of dollars of damage would that have been?
It's 4:42 a.m. I've obviously been up all night. This is what the attic looks like now. I have towels.
There are three tarps.
I've cut as much little pieces of insulation of this as I can.
I was cutting insulation while naked with my bare hands.
Not randomly, but...
That was probably not a smart thing to do, but for a lot of this, I was only in underwear.
Under drips. Right now, I can see... I mean, I'm not even going to try to count them.
This was insane. This whole time, I'm like calling the company or the contacts I have at the company. Obviously, they're not answering. I don't even know what to do. Do I call 911? Like, my house is literally, if it rains any harder, my house might be completely destroyed of a second floor. It was complete luck that I was there and that I checked the attic for problems before it started staining the ceiling. Have... Oh god. And so partway through I did find stains that was leaking through onto the ceiling. So I did get stains on the ceiling, but then I was able to sop up those parts before too much occurred, right? Still, it's like the middle of the night and I stay up all night and I don't know what to tell you. Like, at 1:30, I was like, okay, maybe the rain will stop. I've never refreshed AccuWeather's minute-by-minute thing more feverishly than two nights ago. When I was like, will the rain stop? Because if it stops, maybe we don't have damage. If it rains, we are effed. So at 1:30, it said the rain's going to stop for a little bit. And it did. Like, at 1:45, it maybe stopped. And then at 2:45... it started again. And that little wheel on AccuWeather where it says no rain for 30 minutes was the saddest wheel I've ever seen as it ticks and ticks and ticks until the rain starts.
There's random insulation here trying to catch as much as possible before it gets any further. Unfortunately, we do have damage here.
Now I'm down out of the attic.
Probably shouldn't even say anything. Haven't seen anything. Probably shouldn't even say anything. Probably shouldn't even say anything. Haven't seen anything though. And then this room has several spots. Oh, and actually it has a physical leak. Yeah, or a physical drip. Oh, it's the first I've seen of that. So this room is messed up.
All right. So then at 2:45 or whatever, when it starts raining again, I realize I am not sleeping at all, right? How can I sleep? I'm just going to go downstairs, lay my little head down and go, hopefully the house isn't destroyed when I get up. Nope, that's not happening. So you could argue, oh, the ceiling was going to be damaged anyway. You might as well have just not done any effort. I'm not sure if that's true. I was able to take out a good amount of water by catching it in little containers and throwing it down the sink or whatever. So it was probably a good idea to continue working. Anyway, so I'm just watching the clock going, when will the roofing company wake up? What do I do? Do I call my insurance? I don't know. The internet said call your insurance. So I wait for the roofing company to call me. They call me. I yell into the phone, what did I buy? Rick, what did I buy? He goes, you bought a roof that should have been not penetrable by water at this stage. I say, get your team over here. This is insane. My attic is ruined and there's a bunch of damage on my ceilings. And he's like, okay, we're coming over. So to his credit, he sent a team to Home Depot to literally buy dehumidifiers and fans. He sent a team to my house to remove all the insulation from the attic, and they're sending a team on Monday to give me new insulation. Blown in. Hey, anything that starts with blown isn't that bad, right? And paint my ceilings. So that part's not done yet. We'll see how that goes. For all I know, they'll accidentally load the blown-in insulation machine with ice instead of insulation. And oopsies, now the whole thing's ruined. But I'm like, this is crazy. Has this ever happened to anyone in history? And they're like, this shouldn't have happened. We don't know what happened. So they came out. They ripped off the stuff. They looked at it. They said, huh? Just looks like the product failed. It let water through. Really? Because I don't know if that's true. Like, was this product supposed to be waterproof? They're like, we do 10 roofs a week. This never happens. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't know the product. But as I understand, there are some underlayments that are just the felt, and there are some that are waterproof. Like, the ice and water shield, obviously, is waterproof. So that held fine. But the felt part that they think was supposed to be waterproof was not fully waterproof, but it wasn't fully water, like, not proof either. Because I feel like if it was not, it would have just been way worse. But imagine if it had rain. Imagine if it had thunderstormed and poured for an hour or two. Because the rain was, like, moderate to light for most of the night. We could have lost everything, especially if it hadn't been here. So to their credit, they came out, they ripped the old stuff off, they dried the stuff out, I hope the walls are fine, and they put a new roof on, and it's on. And I haven't paid the whole bill yet, because they're going to come fix the other stuff. But now I'm like, how much money do I ask for compensation for me having stayed up for 10 straight hours? I had to basically call out of work the next day. I hadn't slept a single minute. I went into work. I worked like 2 hours and then I left. I was like, guys, I'm going to go sleep somewhere. This is crazy. But I worked 8 to 10 hours. Let's say my labor is worth $50 an hour. It's probably worth more than that. If I'm staying up all night and I'm scared my whole house is going to collapse, that's got to be worth at least $100 an hour, maybe $200. So I'm like, you owe me $1,000 to $2,000. So I guess we're just going to see what they say. I should ask for like the whole final payment off, which is like a third of the thing. Because at this point, you go, listen, you guys aren't going to make money on me. I think that ship has sailed. You have lost money because you ruined the house and you had to send a whole bunch of teams here to fix it. On the plus side, I'm getting new insulation. The insulation was already kind of crappy. So we're getting new insulation. Have a new roof. So there's that. But I paid for it. It was not free. I paid for it with an entire night of thinking I was like, I've always known that the day would come where the house would collapse and be destroyed and I would be here and the house would have collapsed on all sides of me. And like, this is the night. I really thought this is it. This is the time. This is how it ends.
It's 5:10 a.m. It has stopped raining. And it doesn't look like it's going to significantly rain for the foreseeable future.
Just a video of the aftermath of stains.
As you can see, watermarks everywhere. I've soaked up a lot of water from the tarp, like I said in the last video. I'm talking funny because I'm wearing a dust mask up here. That thing's kind of full. I'm gonna have to empty that out. This may be the last update, and thus ends. And thus is the aftermath of one of the worst nights of my life. Sweet.
One of the worst parts of this is that I had just cleaned out part of my room and gotten rid of the contents of a bunch of those pull-out plastic organizers, like those little three-thing drawers you can get at Target or Walmart. And I had like 4 of them that were completely empty, and I was ready to start deploying in other places of the house, right? So in the middle of the night, I had run out of towels and I had run out of Tupperware to catch different drips. And I was like, is there anything else I can do? And then I see them in the corner, my organizers. And I pull out a drawer and I look at them like, this is a perfectly sized light plastic container. And I've got like 16 of them here. Well, 12. Anyway, so I took those up and I put those all around. And that helped a bit. So great, that caught a bunch of water. And then the people come to clear out the attic. And yes, I'm happy they came and cleared out the attic, but they threw away those drawers. I'm pissed. So now I'm down three full freaking organizers. I was able to salvage like three of them, so one of them is saved, and but all of the drawers are different color. So that's the worst part of all of this. All right, so that is the story of my house being completely destroyed. Does anyone have any other news stories? Florida man calls 911 to brag about fleeing traffic cop. Like, what do we pay you guys for? Now, I'm very critical of any story that starts Florida, right? As I've said before, you can go to Florida's court page or police blotter. You refresh it. You look for the, you do a control F for the word peen or master or any of those keywords, and you'll probably just find a bunch of funny articles that you can post. And I'm not going to fall for that. We're not going to be doing these articles where news stories are just refreshing the blotter and posting an article. However, this article at least had a transcript. Suspect calls 911. He says, I want you to know, I just ran from a cop like 30 minutes to an hour ago. I was the guy that like ran over there out of King's Estates. What do we even pay you guys for? I've driven past like four cops. The dispatcher says, what do you mean you ran from a cop? Man, I'm so glad we don't know anyone that would ever go on a recording and say that, hey, I just ran from a cop 30 minutes to an hour ago. That would be crazy if we knew anyone like that. Suspect said, I mean, he turned his lights on me and got behind me. And as he was walking up to my car, I did a donut around him and I left him. So this isn't just like gunning it when they hear your, like when you see them coming after you. This is you did the whole stop, wait for him to get out of his car and then floor it. The dispatcher says, okay, you want to now see the officer or what's your question? Suspect says, like, my question is, I'm assuming he put an APB out for that someone is looking for my car. All points bulletin. Ah, got it. I'm good for Jeopardy. So, like, he definitely got the plate number, but I've passed, like, four cops just driving around. What are you guys doing? Dispatcher says, well, we're working on many calls, sir. Using investigative techniques, the county deputies were able to track the phone to a person named Nicholas Jones, who was wanted for a warrant for a separate incident. A day later, deputies were made aware of a car with the same tag number traveling in the area of Old Some Road. The vehicle was found in front of a clothing store, and Jones was taken into custody. It's not clear why he was in there wearing women's clothes and having a attendant make sure that she helped him while on video. Callback! I asked why he ran from the traffic stop. Deputies said that Jones smiled and said nothing. When asked why he would call 911 to gloat about it, he said, that cop had no right to stop me. I saw him turn his lights and sirens on. I was going to stop, but I didn't want to. The deputies also advised that Jones later stated that he ran because he thought it would be fun. All right, this has been News with Nick. Thanks for hanging out and hearing about a horrible, destructive thing that happened. Any other news that is going on? I hope we'll do a news story, maybe news show rather, like with more news, more prep, probably hopefully next week or something like that. Bye, everyone. Oh, crap. This said News with Nick, 9:30 p.m. Eastern this whole time. I'm off my rocker. Normally, I change this to say the URL. How many fruit flies are in here?